Well, we're in 1 John chapter 2. We kind of left off midstream, so hopefully we can pick up there. I think it was chapter 2, verse 25, actually. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read through verses 24 through the third verse in chapter 3, and then we'll take it from there. Let me read through the scripture, and then we'll pray. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but that as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has the hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Father, we just thank You for Your scripture, for Your word, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, Lord, for drawing us in, for allowing us to be part of Your plan, Lord. Thank You, Father, for the words of life. Lord, they are life to us. We read them with anticipation on what You're going to show us, Lord, and what You have for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You would continue to work in our lives, Lord. Continue to form us, to mold us, Lord, into Your image, Lord. We are image bearers, Lord. We are ones who, promote, who bring to light, Lord, those things that You are. And we pray, Lord, that we would be a good, solid, righteous witness, Lord, for You to this world. And Father, that You would encourage us in Your word, that You would help us, Lord, give us understanding, Lord. And may we find application, Lord, as we draw close to You, Lord. You promise us that You would draw close to us, Lord. So we praise You, we thank You, we give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So a wonderful promise here of the Lord to, as we look toward our beginning, as we went through last week and we would look back at the start there of the church and in a sense I hate to say it, but like a formula that we should abide in, so that we can abide in Him, to draw closer to Him. And of course the Word of God is very important to us. It is our life, our lifeline. And so we want to abide in Him. And of course, with that, we have that wonderful promise of eternal life. And John is writing to the saints there to encourage them to stay strong, You know, he put forth some things here that they had to be aware of, some of the deception of the time, you know, that they had to be aware of that was going to happen. But there's this wonderful promise of eternal life. And there's also, you know, and we can look forward to that. We can say, wow, that's the promise. We can look forward to the time in which we're with Him and we see Him for who He is, you know. It says that we'll see Him as He is. What a wonderful promise that is. But here we are today. We're here, and the world is what it is. You know, the world is very deceptive. Right is called, you know, wrong, and wrong is often called right. And there's, you know, we've seen the laws of the land have been changed to, you know, which seems like, you know, where are we going, you know, and we get frustrated with that. But I think the wonderful thing that we can count on, the person that we can count on, is the Holy Spirit. And John says, these things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you. But, and I like that because there's a, a small little word changes everything. He says, but the anointing, what a wonderful thing we have in the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. You know, along with the promise of eternal life, we have the anointing here. In John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without him you can do nothing. You know, those that abide in him produce fruit. A little later on in that same chapter 15 of John, verse 8 and 16, it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. See, what happens when we produce fruit is that the fruit is supposed to bring attention to the Lord, not to us, not how wonderful we are. Remember, we really bring nothing into the picture. God does it all. He says that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go, meaning it's a very active thing there, and bear much fruit, or bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. It's a continuous thing. You know, you go to the orchard this time of year, you see that the fruit didn't remain, right, on the tree. But for a Christian, it's different. It's continuous. It's a remaining fruit in our lives. And it says that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. You know, there's this foolish notion that salvation is a time that we receive Christ in our life, and that is it. And that's far from the truth. See, when we receive Christ in our lives, things change. They don't become what they were. He doesn't take and polish an old relic. He takes and he creates someone new. And we're supposed to be vastly different from where we came from. And part of that is that we produce fruit that is likable. Who wants to go up on a, have you ever been tracking through maybe a old farm or something and they have some wild apple trees and you go there and you eat an apple and it's so tart and so awful taste and almost a dry taste in your mouth. You don't delight to go back and grab another apple and eat another apple. But if you go through an orchard that's well taken care of, and they cultivated it properly and so forth. And they just hang there and they're so plump and they're so delicious, right? That's the fruit in our lives. Our fruit from the Lord is delicious. It's something to partake in. And it's supposed to be, when we produce that fruit, it's supposed to be good. And it's supposed to not only be good for us, but it's supposed to be good for those around us. And part of the change in the bearing of the fruit is the relationship that we have to the vine dresser or the vine. And so, you know, where before we didn't have that relationship with Jesus, now we do. There should be a difference in our life. So if we are abiding in Christ, we're producing fruit. It goes along with abiding. Abiding really means remain. So if we're remaining in Christ, we're remaining with the Father, then there should be some change in our relationship with Jesus. Even past the salvation, the point of salvation for eternal life, there is this progression through sanctification that we draw closer and closer to the Lord. If there's ever a time that we dip down or we stagnate, you know, it slows us, our progression down from being like Him. And that's our goal. We want to be like Him. We want to be close to Jesus. On the other hand, in verse 6 of that chapter 15 in John, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So we either abide in Christ or we don't abide in Christ. There's no like in between kind of area. It's one or the other. Goes on in back in 1 John there, 26, it says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but, like we said, but the anointing, which you have received from him abides in you. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go from us. We sometimes need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, but we certainly He doesn't leave us. It says there that He abides in you, remains in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as some anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. John would make them aware of the deceivers, but he would also want to make sure that they were as much aware of the anointing that they had in their lives. And of course, the Spirit of God that lives in us gives us this discernment that, you know, for deceptive sake, you know, what's a truth, what's a lie. We may not even understand it completely. The Holy Spirit might prick us at a certain time. You might receive something from the Holy Spirit that your neighbor never does. Because we're different, of course, and the Holy Spirit works within us, in a sense, to accommodate ourselves and to help us, right? He's called the helper in Scripture. And it says there that you don't need to be taught. And of course, some would say, see, that's why I don't go to church, or that's not exactly what it's saying there. It doesn't mean that teachers are not necessary, but that we possess the source of the knowledge of the truth. So teachers often bring, when I stand up here, it's not so much to teach you. I hope the Holy Spirit during the week is teaching you much more. But for me, it's more to bring to remembrance the things that perhaps you've already known, that you've already studied. It's to encourage you to press in. Yes, it is to bring maybe new knowledge, or maybe bring it some way that maybe you hadn't seen before. But it's still the anointing, right? And today, this word anointing is often used in charismania that it defines a person, a specific person. It almost pulls them out of the crowd and makes them somebody special. But really, each one of us that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Lord, has that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that anointing. We have that power. God's so gracious to us, isn't He? In chapter 14 of John, verse 25 through 26, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, which while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." So it's a wonderful power within us that we can be taught. See, without the Holy Spirit, we can't be taught the Word of God. It's impossible. Like I said last week, I think it was when I first opened the Word of God, it was very frustrating because I couldn't seem to understand anything of it. But when the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within me, all of a sudden it came alive. It wasn't just a dusty old book sitting on a shelf, but it was something much more. It was living. And today, the Holy Spirit, you know, as He works in my life, He often brings me into situations where I have to remember His Word, right? I have to have that time of, it's a time of remembrance that the Holy Spirit would give us. In certain situations. How many times has that happened to you? I went and looked up verse 27 here. I just want to read it to you in the Amplified Version. It says, "As for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you receive from Him remains permanently in you, permanently in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but just as His anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of the Holy Spirit about all things, and is true, and is not a liar. And just as His anointing has taught you, you must remain in Him, being rooted in Him, knit to Him." So sometimes we get fearful about situations in which we are put in. Certain situations make us quite nervous. You know, and we wonder, "Lord, what are you doing? And Lord, do you know who you're using? And do you know who I am, Lord?" And we get wrapped up in ourselves and we forget that He is in us. Right? That He's made it such that we can speak with all, you know, with all gentleness, with all love, you know, with all the fruit of the Spirit, We can do that because the Holy Spirit is within us. We don't have to fear that person. Right? And you might look at somebody and say, how can I ever speak to that person? He is an official of the government, or he is in such a position as this. Well, God can speak to him. And he certainly can use his children to speak to those officials, you know. Sometimes I think we fear people more than we fear the Lord. And we really have to remember, he's within us. He's doing a work within us, you know. And I think we can all relate to that. We aren't who we were. And sometimes, you know, when I look back to some of the years gone by and I think of the situations in which I was put in and how I, you know, came in contact with certain people, and especially corporate America, that were had the titles, you know, the vice presidents and the presidents and the CEOs and so forth. And I think about those times, and I think about some of the feelings that I had, and how I there was times when I was a little nervous, you know. But there was other times when the boldness of the Holy Spirit took over and really equipped you for those times. You know, think of Esther as she had to confront the king, right? And how the Holy Spirit was just active there. How fearful that might have been, because, you know, when she went into the king's court unannounced, the penalty for that could have been death. Yet she went in there. And so sometimes I think we limit the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, because sometimes we think this pile of nothing God can't use, and he really can, you know, really can. Verse 28, it says, Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Not to be ashamed. What is the reason here for the shame? Perhaps it's because we didn't really abide when we should have abided in him. We didn't remain in him when we should have. John in chapter 15, again, verse 4, would say, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Are the things we're involved in, are the things that we're doing fruitful? If we look at them and we say, well, they're not being too fruitful, maybe we have to consider where we're abiding. You know? Paul would say that some would get into heaven, but there would be no reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3:15, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire. Where are we abiding? Are we, you know, if Jesus was to come back right now, at this moment in time, what would we think? Or what state would we be in? You know, would our minds be wandering off into some fantasy world in the Bahamas and thinking, well, gee, maybe I should be paying attention here, right? Would we be caught in an argument with our wife? Would we be caught in an argument with another believer, you know, of our foolishness. Would we be ashamed of that? You know, where we're abiding. You know, would God catch us? You know, maybe we get in, but you know, our lives aren't being very fruitful for Him because we're not abiding in Him. Abiding means remaining in Him. How do we remain in Him? You know, I've often heard people say things like, you know, when it's relating to family, it's not about quantity time. It's about quality time. You ever heard people say that? I think it's about both. I think we ought to have the attitude that we want our relationship with Jesus to be the best, right? We want the time that we spend with Him to be the best. We don't want to sit down thinking, well, if I spend 5 hours with Him, that's what He wants. What were you doing during them 5 minutes? You know, some people think, well, if I come to church on Sunday, Wednesday, hit a couple studies, you know, at work on during the week, I'm pretty good. I spent all this time. But what kind of drawing are you attempting to make here? Are you drawing on religious acts? Or is it a drawing to draw closer to the Lord? Are you doing the things that say, I am all in for the Lord and I am not ashamed. I will not be ashamed at the time that He comes. You know, it says there that little children abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence. That term there is really a judicial term that really means that we are so confident of not being guilty. You know, when you go into that court and they say, did you do this? He said, absolutely not. And we're so sure of that. It's that confidence. You know, really to gain confidence, you know, I was looking at the Heisman Trophy last night that was given out, and one of the player that got it there, Caleb Williams, he was given his speech, right? And he said that, you know, and a lot of them say this, they say, well, yes, I won the Heisman, but USC, we have unfinished business, meaning that he wants the national championship, right? He's grateful for the opportunity for this Heisman, but he really wants that. Then he backed up and he said, when I was 10 years old, I started this journey. And my father and me, we sat down and we did a schedule of what we're going to do. We're going to be in the weight room at 5:30 in the morning. We're going to be running at 6:30 in the morning. They had this schedule before school started. And I think about us. Is those that say we abide in Christ, and what's our schedule? How are we going to draw closer to the Lord? What are some of the things that perhaps we need to do so that when we stand at that day in which Jesus returns, and we can have confidence that we won't be ashamed of where He finds us that is coming, that we'll be confident, not prideful, but confident that our position in Christ, we scheduled our times with the Lord. We got with Him, you know, instead we gave up certain things. We sacrificed certain things so that we could draw closer to the Lord. And I look at my own life, and I look at all the nonsense that I do. And I think we can all relate to that. All the things that are really nonsense. I'm not saying don't go out for dinner or don't go to this entertainment thing or whatever, but sometimes I think those things consume us more than the time that we're abiding in Christ, that we're drawing closer, that we're remaining in Him. You know? Because if we start putting off, we start putting off reading the Word, we start putting off praying, you know what we're doing? We're doing less abiding. And instead of drawing in, we're drawing out. Goes on here and he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Right? And, you know, I use the example there of the apple tree. The apple tree, see, produces apples. Right? It's just the way it is. So the Christian produces righteousness because we're born of him. Right? We're born of him, or we're reborn, really, of him through the Spirit of God. See, for the Christian, it's not about just getting to heaven. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes I think back and when I was first confronted with the gospel, I was concerned about getting to heaven. My life wasn't heavenly. I wasn't walking with Christ. I wasn't born again. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. And I was fearful that I would go to hell. And many of us were in that, but that's not where we stay. See, we find out that the love of God is tremendous. And that He died for us while we were yet sinners. And we see His, you know, unconditional love for us. How He ran around the block for us. Right? He did some extraordinary things for us. See, for the Christian, it doesn't stay about eternal life. It starts to progress towards, I want to form this relationship. I want to build upon this relationship with this living God. Right now. Here and now. On this earth. Forget about eternity. It's about drawing closer to Him, right? You know, as James would say, as we draw close to Him, He is, you know, He draws close to us. It's about the Christian understanding the heart of God, understanding what He likes and what He dislikes. Understanding what He calls an abomination. What He calls righteousness. He commands us and we listen. He leads us and we follow. We know the heart of God. That's what a Christian yearns for. To know the heart of God. In John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Some people take that and say, it's an open checkbook. No, it's not an open checkbook. But what happens to us is we draw closer to Him and we begin to know the heart of God is that His desires become our desires. It's never the other way around. Our desires don't become His. Because our desires in the flesh are rather selfish and fleshly, right? But we start to understand his desires. We start to get his heart and love for people that are loveless, that don't, others don't pay attention to. You know, one of the things that, you know, the kids always comment to us, or comment to me on how, and Hannah has some of the resemblance too of Aunt Nancy, and how they tell us that we're very much alike, you know, in some of our mannerisms and stuff. One of the things that we all have, and I don't know, you know, I think when I say we all, me and my sister, and that one thing is that we have a tendency of being nut magnets, because we can sit on a bench and somebody can come up and feel comfortable talking with us, you know, and something about it, we have that sense that somebody is, and really, you know, I think it's the Holy Spirit, really, is that we have a sense that somebody is not treated well in society. The standouts, you know. And so we're drawn to that kind of person. And it's something that the Holy Spirit does within us. He works in our hearts that way. But it's that sense that God desires every person to know him. And so for us, it's like, you know, when we sense that, it's like God even loves them. The world doesn't love them. The world picks on them and, you know, messes with them. And God's kids love the world as God would love the world. And I'm speaking of the people. But our identity is found in Christ. We need to be doing those things that keep us abiding in him, you know, being in his word, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, keeping the cross the forefront of our minds, you know, communing with God in prayer. And he goes on, and so this sense of he's encouraging them to practice righteousness if they're born of him, if you're born again. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved. So here he says, behold, right? Behold, you know, think about this. Consider it for a moment. Take some time and just consider it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. You ever consider that? That we should be called the children of God. Right? That bestowing is giving, right? It's something that's not owed or owned or earned, right? It's something that God bestows or gives us. So that we can be called the born ones of God. That's really what it means there. The children of God, the ones that have been born of God. How are we born of God? By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes within us. That anointing comes within us, and he stays with us. He borns us, and then he grows us, right? And then he grows us. What kind of love is this? Love is very foreign to the world. right? It's very foreign. It's outside their understanding. It's very sacrificial. Right? He gave his only begotten Son for the sake of the world, so that they would have eternal life. And also that we would live fully. Once we're born again, we get to live fully in Christ. And he loves us, he loves you because of who he is and not because of who we are. Because if we were judged on our own worthiness, of course we wouldn't be worthy. It's only because he's worthy that we get to be worthy. It's only because of his faithfulness that we can be faithful. See, the world has yet to experience the love of God. We get to introduce them to him. We get to introduce them to the saving grace that he has bestowed upon us. See, we recognize the bestowing that he has done on us, how important it is to us. And see, that gives us a fire within us to share with others. Simply. Goes on and he says, beloved. And of course, that's what he calls us, his children, beloved, speaking to his kids. Now we are the children, we are children of God, and it has not been revealed that we, what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So he speaks here to his children. And he says, there's going to be this day of revealing and we'll see him as he is. Paul would say we see dimly right now. We don't see clearly. You know, we don't see him clearly. But someday we're going to meet up with him. See, this is our, you know, even our drive today is that our drive isn't just to get out of the miserable life that we're in. Right? So many people have been lied to as someone says they're sharing the gospel with them. And they make it seem as if they go from rags to riches. And in a sense, we do. But they take it as a material thing, and all of a sudden, things don't work out quite the way they pictured. But all along, they were after the wrong thing. You see, our drive is much greater than that. Because this hope in Him, it means continuously. We just put our hope in Him. We have expectations of someday meeting up with him. We should even lose the perspective of we get to live forever, but that we get to be with him. We get to see him. We get to draw closer to him. See, some folks look forward to his coming. Why? Because they're heavily in debt, and that will solve it. Because they don't like what they see on the news every night, and that will solve it. And certainly they're right, but as a Christian, see, our strive here is
is to see Him. He's the one, right? He's the one, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one. The great I Am. He's the one that we get to see. We look forward to His coming because He's coming. We forget that, don't we? We look forward to His coming because we're going sometimes. And yet, He wants us to look forward to His coming because He's coming. He's coming. He's the one. The Lamb of God takes away all the sins of the world. We want to know Him. We want to delight in Him. We want to abide in Him. We want to draw closer to Him. And as we draw closer to Him, He draws closer to us. He's given us this wonderful gift, this anointing, to give us understanding of who He is. Not to show off. Not to say that we have some sort of supernatural ability to, you know, teach or whatever, or prophesy or whatever that is, right? That showing off, you know. He didn't give us the Holy Spirit to show off the flesh. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that it would enable us to show Him off. I think we sung it this morning to bring Him fame, right? It's all part of His plan. We just happen to have the fortune, the opportunity, as we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, as we accepted what He did as final payment on the cross for our sins. He's given us a wonderful gift of the anointing so that we could walk with Him, so that we could know Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Just to know Him, to abide in Him. The Holy Spirit holds us to Him and just holds us to Him. Wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, all that You do for us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us that knows You. The new life that You gave us so that we could be considered Your children, Lord. Let us desire Your coming, Lord. Let us desire Your coming because You're coming. Help us, Lord, to love You more. Help us, Lord, to yearn, to draw closer to You, Lord. Give us those hours, those minutes in the morning, Lord, where we can come to You and just hear from You, Lord. Hear Your heart, Lord. Sometimes we're so willing to talk to You, Lord, that we forget to listen. So help us to listen, Lord. May You be glorified and honored in our lives. Lord, as we head out of here, Lord, protect us. We do entrust our lives into Your hands, Father. We desire to remain in You, Lord, to abide in You. Lord, knit us together with Yourself. Thank You for the precious gift of salvation. Lord, help us to share with others this time of year, Lord, especially the wonderful gift that You gave us through Your Son, Jesus, and we just give it all to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.